Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
To me, what's interesting is this all, in a vacuum, we're looking at, okay, these are the things that have been done since Monday that lead the Patriots to be in this position with Calvin Ridley, but it's not. DeAndre Hopkins was there for the friggin' taking last year. That was a Bill Belichick-driven decision because of a lack of practice time spent by DeAndre Hopkins, he perceived. They gave Devontae Parker a friggin' raise because he had his nose out of joint about DeAndre Hopkins. The rest of the team, ownership wanted DeAndre Hopkins last year. Bill said no go. Now you look at this and you have this problem that looks like they had to pay $22 million for this guy, and Hopkins would have still been under contract. It all tracks back to, and they'll be digging out of, my point is, the mistakes made going back to friggin' N'Keal Harry, if you want to go back, is what they're doing now.
Oh, boy. Final hour of KJ Lyons, WEEI. That's Tom E. Curran on NBC Sports Boston. Lamenting poetic about how different cats got out of the way. And John, I always tell people when they bring up DeAndre Hopkins, you thought I was joking, you thought I was being smug or sly. Go back and read that 2020 Sports Illustrated article where the paragraphs about Bill O'Brien allegedly asking about Hopkins' baby mamas. And that's why, like, he's not going to come play. He'll make the visit. It's all to make grandma happy about a forgiveness technique. He was never going to play here. He wasn't. If that's happening and compare you to Aaron Hernandez, no, he wasn't coming to play with Bill O'Brien on the staff.
If my math is right, they offered DeAndre Hopkins and Jacoby Myers combined.
Did I say anything about math?
Money
I said
Calvin
the guy
Ridley.
Made the articles about these personal statements.
Yeah, I know what it's about. I read the
about
article.
Bill think what's the difference between $10 million and $11 million dollars for a guy who's probably got $40 million?
If they offered a million? DeAndre Hopkins more money than the Titans did, and then he chose not to come here, okay, but they didn't even go there, so we don't really know. Like, I'm not discounting what you're saying, but they didn't even make the real attempt, which is on them. Like,
maybe,
they made a decision.
Maybe DeAndre Hopkins told him, don't even make another attempt. Like, hey,
well, then
we're
they
good.
Shouldn't have made that. If that was the case, they wouldn't have made an offer in the first place.
You know, like, what it's called? It's called getting played.
They didn't.
Bill O'Brien got played in that.
They That's didn't make the enough of an thing. Effort to get him.
No, it was all about playing Bill O'Brien.
But they didn't make enough of an effort. They didn't offer him enough money. Like I said before, it's winning and money is generally what attracts free agents.
They could have offered him all the money.
But if they did that and he chose not to come here, then we would know. We don't really know because they didn't make enough effort.
I just
and that's been with their receiving core now going back, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
When was the last time They drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round. I know
the coach in my room, the one who said that I reminded him of Aaron Hernandez and asked about my baby mamas and my friends, and I'm going to go back and play for that guy? No. I don't care how much money it is.
When was the last time they made a real effort to sign or go after a wide receiver? Like, it was N'Keal Harry was a first-round pick in 2019.
Well, you don't know because we don't know who said no.
Since then.
Right? That's the other
part. If it was a major effort, we know Calvin Ridley said no. We know DeAndre Hopkins said no. Like, they haven't made it. That's a position I feel like far too often, and this goes obviously for like 15 years, they've ignored that or neglected it far too often. And it was one thing, not just when you had Tom Brady, but when you had Rob Gronkowski too. Like, you had the best tight end in the NFL the teams had to game plan for. But when that guy's gone and your tight end's Hunter Henry, who's a good player, but he's not one of the best tight ends ever, in Rob Gronkowski, then you have to invest more in the receiver position. So, look, I think Calvin Ridley got wildly overpaid by Tennessee. I'm glad the Patriots are at least in it, but the Patriots have to go into the draft having either left tackle or receiver figured out. And there's some options to get a really good receiver now, but it's going to have to be via trade. And same thing, I think, with the left tackle now that Jonah Williams and Tyron Smith are off the market.
We're resetting the culture, which is happening, and that's going to take process. So go to Bob in Londonderry. Bob, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on WEEI.
Hey, guys. I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. Tell your friends and all your bosses, like corporate guys, too. Yeah.
I do that, but you know me. I call you guys all the time. I'm the guy with the negative attitude. But can I ask you, this guy, we keep talking about Hunter Henry like he's this and that. Did you, maybe I watched the wrong games or whatever, but last year, more than once, a very easy pass, he needed to catch it in order for the Pats to attempt to do better. He dropped the ball. My point being is the Pats are in such bad shape on every level. Do people understand this is what you see is what you get, and it's not really going to change? Or do people really think, oh, this is going to change? And look where we are, all new staff, new coach, for what we've done to Mr. Belichick. I never even said I liked him. For throwing him under the bus, wait till you see what's coming, because this is going to go from much bad to worse. And that's even if we get lucky, in my opinion.
Thank you for the call. Continue to tell all your corporate friends about KJ Lyons.
And you want a fun exercise to do, KJ, based off Bob's call? Go watch NFL. Every once in a while, NFL Network will show like a game from the Patriots in 2014 or 2016. Just look at the difference in talent on offense from one of those years to now. It's jarring. And I know the obvious one is quarterback, but like, look at everywhere else on the roster. There's not a position today on the Patriots, I think, that they have a better player than they had 7 or 8 years ago. Like, it's a jarring drop off. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I know Bill Belichick lost his job in part because of that. But, I mean, it really, to Bob's point, it is jarring. I think Hunter Henry's a good player, but Rob Gronkowski's one of the best tight ends of all time. I like DeMario Douglas. Julian Edelman won a Super Bowl MVP. I like Kendrick Bourne. Chris Hogan led the league in yards per reception in 2016. Like, the difference in talent, it is jarring to me.
Well, but the other part of it was, this is where Belichick was smart. I'm going to make my best receivers a less cost position, right? So, like, at one point, Chris Hogan's the highest paid receiver on the team at like $5 million. Okay, I think when Hernandez got his extension, it would put him at $8 million, right? What are receivers getting now, right? Or what receivers haven't gotten here on the Patriots? So, if you've got a situation where my two tight ends combined, I'm not even paying out $15 million for, but yet, if I want one receiver, I think about 13.
The issue is like, what, ideally both of those positions are really good, but you have to have
charge the same because of what rate is.
But one of those positions at least has to be a guy that defenses have to game plan for. And it's something that holds, like, even just look at the Chiefs.
But that's
right? Like,
strategy, Chiefs, I'm talking about in terms of paying and not paying for, right?
The Chiefs receiving core is not that good. But everyone has to game plan for Travis Kelce, so they're still a really good offense. And yes, I know the quarterback is there. Look at the Bengals, the reverse side of it. Their tight end position, really nothing to write home about, but their receiving core is great, so defenses have to worry about it. The problem with the Patriots, defenses don't really have to worry about either one of those. Like, Hunter Henry's a good player. Kendrick Bourne's a good player. Our defensive coordinator is up late at night thinking, oh my God, I have to stop Hunter Henry. Like, or in Kendrick Bourne, like, I just, I don't, in a really good offense, I feel like those guys are your third and fourth options, not your first and second.
Well, this goes to what you were saying with the Chiefs. It's only really true about them not having a receiving core for a year, right? Because when they had Tyreek Hill, we're not talking about a guy.
They just won two straight Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill.
Well, but here's the thing. Because Tyreek Hill didn't cost them a lot, they were able to win, right? So when they move forward on, you know what you're doing already. You don't really need – I mean, Tyreek Hill, what round is he? He's not a first rounder. He wasn't a second rounder. Was he fourth rounder?
Off the top of my head, I think he was third or fourth, yeah.
Right. Something he's not like a first, second rounder. Yeah. Right. So you're talking about either end of day one guy or the beginning of day two guy, really a day two guy who becomes an all-pro, and you never have to give him all-pro money. So look at all the things you can get done. And meanwhile, you're pulling out the Patriots playbook of getting a tight end that becomes super dominant, who you don't have to pay as much as that receiver when it comes time for them to get paid. So now you have, and then you have a quarterback who has this big contract, who has the flexibility to move money around for players. Does that sound familiar?
And that was the thing too about the Brady years, is every single year that they were good, and they were good every year, but every single year that they were a Super Bowl team, they had at least one or two guys outside of Brady that a defense really had to worry about, whether it was Corey Dillon or Randy Moss or Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman, or even going back to Troy Brown in 2001 with David Patton, who, even though people forget about it, they were really good that year. Like, they all, and to me now, I just, like, maybe Stevenson is that guy, but the league's so different now that teams really worry about running backs outside of Derrick Henry to really game plan around. Like, that's like, so
running backs probably have a shelf life of maybe 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah, so like, I just don't see the Patriots having that guy that defense. And that's the thing too, is like, you know, Calvin Ridley, I don't think he's an elite receiver, but he's at least a guy that defenses would have to worry about. Or Keenan Allen, who got traded. Like, that's a guy defenses, at least they have to game plan around, and they have to, T. Higgins would be a guy like that. Like, and whichever route they go, like, right now they don't have that guy. So they could hit on Drake May. He could be, you know, let's just call it Drake May or Jaden Daniels. They could be a franchise guy. Jacoby Brissett could be an awesome bridge QB. That's a huge part of it. But if they have no one else that a defense has to worry about, yeah, we'll see a better offense than a year ago, but we're not going to see a really good one.
Look, so I mentioned in the last break that I think the Patriots, the reason why you're not seeing all these big shots or big swings at free agents or even these ancillary ones for tackles and so forth and everything, is because I think there's something in the wind between themselves, the Bears, and the Commanders. Well, they can't give up. Like, you mentioned the left tackle in Arizona. So let's say you want to try and make that deal. Well, you may have to give up a draft pick that the Bears may want in a deal for you to get a quarterback. What do you do?
Well, no, right? Jonah Williams was a free agent. They could have had him. They could have just signed him. Like, that to me, that's why that one frustrates me. Because I understand what you're saying, that I don't want to give up a lot of draft capital either. Like, if you're telling me they're going to trade a draft pick for Brandon Ayuk, you know, or DK Metcalf, fine, I'm all in. But beyond that, I agree with you. I don't want to give up a lot. But like a guy like Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith, like,
well, but
you could do that.
But again, I guess the other part of it is the demand. If you know that your left tackle situation is horrible, you may find yourself overpaying, right? Because you're thinking, but, like, hey, here's a situation where, like,
is the solution then not to have one? Because that's kind of where we're at. Like, because Trent Brown's not walking through that
I think
door.
After more answers are definitive in terms of what you've got, and the definitive answer of what you don't have is a quarterback. So if you're the Patriots and the Bears and you're on the phone, and right, and there's this Fitzgerald Spretzberger evaluation thing that puts all these things. Have you seen this before, John?
Yeah, it's the whole chart and everything.
Right, where you can
gives you a headache looking at it.
Right, but you need to be a little bit smart for this. Look, if the Patriots, this is how you can get a swap for 1 to 4. I mean, from a 3 to 1, and the Bears only give up their first, they give up the number one pick, and they give up next year's second round pick. Patriots give up the number 103 this year. You give up that 7th round pick that you got from Mac Jones, and your second rounder next year, and the Bears win the draft with the pick value gain at around position 96, somewhere around the 3rd round. So they get like a 3rd rounder as well in the valuation of things. So that's a possibility, but if you look at what Washington has in front of them, this is what's scary, and this is why I think this is what's going on. Washington could offer up this year's number 2, their third round pick at 78, their 7th rounder and their 2nd rounder next year. The Bears give up the same thing, and they get a much better haul with an average pick coming back at 46, which would be a 2nd rounder.
Yeah, another team I got my eye on too, Minnesota, who just added a 2nd first-round pick yesterday. So now they have 2 first-round picks this year. They can use first-round picks next year and 2nd-round pick, you know, next year as well. So it's like that's a team.
But I think that's to get J.J. McCarthy. I think that's to go get him.
And you very well could be right, but that's another team now all of a sudden that's lurking there that, you know, if the Patriots, and this is why, to me, the biggest question of the offseason, What do they think of Jaden Daniels? Because if they like him, you're fine at three and you can pick whoever you want. But if they don't like him.
But you might not be fine at three.
And the other two guys go before you, then you're in trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Patriots have to get themselves in a position to go get the quarterback they want versus taking what's left. If you take what's left, then it's already kind of known that, hey, you weren't our first choice and I wasn't your first choice. It's a rebuild going on. It could be a big mess. Look, we'll continue the conversation. Next, we got to talk about episodes 9 and 10 in the Dynasty. I break the code about the Malcolm Butler thing, even if you didn't feel like it happened. But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
KJ and Lions on WEEI.
In the 2017 season, Malcolm Butler played 98% of the snaps. Why was he only on the field for one play during the Super Bowl?
Matt, we've talked about that.
I didn't ask you about it.
What has been told to me is that there was something personal going on between Bill and Malcolm that was not football related. I always felt that every decision Bill had made had been to put what was in the best interest of the team first and put emotion aside. But with Malcolm, he did just the opposite.
Oh, wow. KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. So, John, we can reveal now that we've known this statement that's been made for several weeks now, right?
So, actually, KJ, as a man of the people, I did not watch all the episodes early. I watched.
Are you
them
kidding?
As
I got
they...
kids at home. I watched all 10 episodes probably that week that we got the code to watch them.
I watched them as they came out, as I am a man of the people.
No, I'm a man of time, and I just kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Tell me that is not the closest to an answer that I'll tell you what. I want your thoughts, and then I'll go to Bill in Providence, and then I'll give my thoughts on what that meant.
Yeah, so look, there's another book, obviously, about the Patriots by Seth Wickersham called It's Better to Be Feared. And in that book, it talked a little bit about there was some sort of dispute with Butler and Matt Patricia at practice, and Butler showed up late that week, and he was sick. So there's those elements to it, and then Kraft saying there's something personal. You know, it feels like it was a swirling of multiple things. And we are talking about a player in Butler. Not just did he play 98% of the snaps that year, like 2 weeks earlier in the AFC Championship game, he played a ton. So, and they got torched while he was sitting on the bench. So it's something that, you know, it's one of the biggest mysteries in New England sports. And there's probably one guy on the planet Earth who truly knows all the reasons or reason that he did not play in that game.
Oh, and that's about to solve the mystery in a second here. Let's go to Bill in Providence. Bill, thanks for calling KJ and Lions. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for having me. It's interesting. I have not watched the last episode of Dynasty. I saw the most recent one last night. I'm 70. I'm a graduate of Notre Dame. I was a sports editor at a school newspaper back in the day. And I am a close personal friend of Montana, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that watching this dynasty really brings into light is the egos relative to people and where they are.
Yeah.
And one of these things is you take a look at Kraft. And now I've been a commercial attorney for 41 years. Kraft made his money his old-fashioned way. He married into it. And if you take a look at the companies that he married into, they floundered. You take a look at what he's done
the
now.
The Razors worked out okay. The Razors worked just fine.
wrong church, wrong pew. But when you think about what's going on here, I mean, egos are egos. And this is just a tribute to him to try to get him in the Hall of Fame. But the thing that's more troubling is they didn't spend a lot of time in the University of Michigan. And Brady has such a chip on his shoulder about that because Drew Henson was a better quarterback. And the reality of it is that he didn't play against real good competition. And when he finally got the chance, he didn't do a great job. So there's a reason why he was drafted.
Are you talking about Brady didn't do a good job? Because he did win the Orange Bowl against Alabama.
Henson.
Oh, okay. That's good. No, I agree with you then. In that case, great take, Bill. In that case, great take.
But you know, that all that's being said, I mean, the point that really is a ganging up, and again, it happens in life. It happens greatly in sports. There were great videos and great tapes about the plays in those games. But it was a very boring documentary, and it doesn't lend anything to anybody except promoting their own egos. And it's the reason why, it's a big reason why I became a lawyer instead of staying in the field.
But all right, Bill, let me put you on the spot since you're a lawyer and you have to answer the question. You've got three quarterbacks and you've got to rank them 1, 2, 3. Give it to me. Brady, Montana, Mahomes. 1, 2, 3.
Actually, Montana, Roger Staubach, and...
Sir, you didn't answer the question. Really, I gave you the names. See, there you go. Bill, thanks for the call, and thanks for the insight, because I understand there's a bit of a
bias. I bet
he's
a good
there.
Lawyer, because you gave him three choices, and he came back with a fourth.
Right. He should have said that's leading lawyer. The witness.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet he's a good lawyer, yes.
Well, but you heard him say Montana right away, so I got right to the answer that I was looking for, is... First, to what he said about the documentary. I've been one here, and I don't know. Zach, do you have the music, the Dynasty music? Do you have it for me there? I know it might be a second to get to. If you don't worry about it. But there's a difference between the Dynasty where you feel like you're watching an episode of 300 and you're ready to take over the world. I think that's what a lot of Patriots fans were hoping to see.
And the early episodes, sorry to cut you off, KJ, I felt like the early episodes were kind of like that to a point.
But then there's the theme from the TV show Dynasty that used to be this nighttime drama that just was like, oh my gosh, Joan Collins is fighting with who and Heather Locklear is the young chick on the block. That's the stuff that pulls people in to watch who have zero interest in football. And if you're going to make a documentary like this, you're going to want to pull people in because we know the plays, we know the games, we know the stats, we know the conversations that weren't followed, right? You know, like, oh, you know, Brady's contract situation going on, but yet that's not in there, and neither is Gronk's retirement. It's not in there because there's a little more nighttime, daytime drama Dynasty. Then it is all the things that put together all the men that led in 300.
Yeah, and that was something like when we had Matt Hamacek on our program a few weeks back, like he talked about, and you said it with him, about not wanting to just do a book report, right?
Yes.
And I appreciate that, but I came away from this feeling like every episode could have been about 10 minutes longer and given us a little more context. And then I think a lot of Patriots fans would have walked away from it feeling a little bit better and that it was a little bit more fair. Like, I think sometimes they shortchanged some things like the 03-04 Super Bowls barely mentioned, the 21-game winning streak barely mentioned. And I know that might not be something salacious for a national audience.
Because it's how it ended,
but
right?
But we're not making a documentary called The Dynasty if they don't win those two Super Bowls. Like, there should be more than that mentioned. Or even like with Spygate, like the Patriots deserve to be criticized. They did a stupid thing, but there's nothing in that about how a lot of other teams in the NFL did it too. The Patriots got caught, and then, you know, it talks about how they got caught and everyone hated them. Doesn't have the extra bit of context there. Like,
that's where I explained,
like, the
when
Putin story. Why is the Putin story in there other than so someone from Idaho like gets grabbed into it and wants to watch more?
Well, you know why? Because Putin is a story now.
Exactly. Right? That's the point. Right. That's why.
Right. So when you're making these things, you have to think about where the audience currently is. That's why nobody really talks about the best part of a movie being the middle. Right. It's like, oh man, when they come into this or when they go out like that, no one talks about like something that's in the middle. But unfortunately for the diehard sports fan, the best part of the Patriots are in the middle, right? That's the best part of it. But for the storytelling purposes, you've got a beginning, you've got an end. Both of those have to end strong. And they did. I think it's like episodes 1, 2, maybe 3, then Hernandez, then the end. That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, it felt like those were kind of the tent poles of the story as you went along. And that's why, again, I've said, like, I understand, especially for a national audience, like, you don't need to make a whole hour about 03 and 04, but you could add 10 to 15 minutes at the end of episode 3 and talk about them a little bit more. And I think a lot of Patriots fans would have appreciated that more, and you still could have gotten the national storytelling angle that you want. That's again, and another piece that's really hanging over this for me, and look, it's his prerogative to do this, it's his choice to do this. Bill Belichick could have helped himself a lot more if he was a lot more open. It felt like after episode
three,
he didn't want to be part of this anymore. And like the Hernandez episode, when Jonathan Kraft at the end is saying, like, oh, Bill just wanted the football player and didn't want, like, first of all, I don't know if I really believe that. Like, that's really over the top. But also, Bill could have said, no, when he got arrested, I wanted to cut him right away. And then that just, like, but that's the thing. He didn't offer his perspective on that. He didn't really offer much on Deflategate.
So when that
didn't offer much on the Jimmy
look,
G
when
trade,
that episode came out, like, I mentioned that that's what Belichick did. You have to pick up the slyness of it. When he said that he had offered Aaron Hernandez additional security detail for the situation, I said here on the air, that was genius, because what Belichick was doing was setting up a paper trail, right? If Hernandez says, yeah, I'll take the additional detail, well, now the detail's got to detail everything that's going on with Hernandez, and if they need to take it to the league or make a case to get rid of him, they can. I said at that time when that episode came out, Belichick possibly saved the franchise from a huge lawsuit from the Lloyd family if he did trade him anywhere.
And the other thing is
potential complicity.
Hernandez saying no to that team security. Well, what does that tell you right there? He didn't want the accountability.
There
he didn't want people following.
So Bill was like, trying to put it on him. That's why I don't think Bill put himself in such a bad light there. You just have to understand how management works, where you say, well, no, I'm not going to trade you to any West Coast team. In fact, I'm not going to trade you to any team because you're valuable as a player. However, if these things that you say you're in danger of, do you want me to provide more people from the staff to be able to handle your situation, to help you with your situation? If he says yes, then Hernandez probably doesn't get to the point that Hernandez does, because all of it's being documented. When he says no,
and the other part that, and I thought that episode out, like the Jonathan Kraft thing, I thought was unfair. I thought most of that episode was really fair. Like, the Patriots did make some mistakes. There was some enabling there, but I thought the end, when they barely did anything on Belichick's press conference about Hernandez, I thought that was unfair too. Cause I thought that press conference was arguably Bill's finest hour as head coach. Like, the way he addressed, that was a 22.
So that was going to be a whole hour.
That was a 22-minute press conference with a 7-minute opening statement. And they put 30 seconds in, and it gave the appearance like he blew it off, which,
you know,
he didn't. If you really,
you know,
listen
why?
To
because
his statement,
because in the end, Aaron Hernandez killed himself. That's why.
I know.
You don't put that whole thing in there.
You don't have to put the whole thing in, but they made it appear like he just blew it off and like thought, like, oh, whatever, yeah, I'm not going to answer questions. Like, that's not what happened either. And I thought that was really unfair to Bill. And I do think he could have helped himself more, but I thought that particular moment, like, I don't think it's a hit piece. Like, a lot of people say, oh, it's a Kraft hit piece on Bill. I don't think it's a hit piece, but I do think there were several instances that I thought were unfair to Bill, and I thought that, for me, was at the top of the list.
Okay, so several minutes ago, and I've been teasing here for probably the last half hour, 45 minutes, about the Malcolm Butler question and answer. And I've been, this is the one piece I've been sitting on. And John, I, like I said, I've watched all 10 episodes 2-3 weeks ago. We'd go back and watch them, but this is the piece. When Robert Kraft said that it was something personal, I would ask you as a listener, think of what someone could personally do to you that you would take it to your job and seek retribution on. And that narrows down what it potentially is. Because when he said it wasn't job related, so then that can clear out, oh, he might have, you remember there was talk, him and his son had beef about something in practice, and it was that, the stuff about Patricia as well. But when Robert Kraft said that it wasn't job related, I would then ask you, and you can answer it to yourself, what could someone do to you personally that will make you take them away from the most important job they have for the entire year?
What did you think of Kraft saying that? Because on one hand, I appreciated
he told
the,
you,
I
he told you
the
everything
honesty,
that but, it's something that, and when Bill says, Matthew already answered that. And then Matt says, well, I didn't ask you. What he's telling you is there are people who know who have been shared with what this personal detail is. And I would just say to you, the listener, figure out in your own life, what could somebody do? I'm not even gonna hypothesize because I don't want to get in trouble. We have lawyers. You know what I mean? Just think to yourself, what could somebody do to you personally that would make you go to the job and say, they're out? There's your answer.
I'm not gonna add anything there.
You see what I'm saying,
but
right?
I think, look,
that's exactly it.
Here's the thing about Kraft, though, saying that.
Like, damn Lions,
if,
you're good.
If you're going to say something like that, and then you're not going to say what it is.
But you can't.
Hear me out. Like, if you're going to say something, and then you're not going to say what it is, then you're opening it up to a lot of negative speculation. So on one hand, like, I appreciate his honesty, and that's what he was told, and whatever. But when you do that, then it puts Bill in a really bad, like, he's in a bad enough position because not playing Butler was a massive mistake.
Let me ask you this, Super Bowl.
But this makes it worse. And at the time, one more thing. At the time, Bill was still his head coach. Like, he didn't expect Bill
to
get fired.
Being the head coach.
No, but when he said that, he knew there was a real chance this documentary could come out and Bill was still going to be head coach of the Patriots, which makes that kind of wild to me.
I think they knew he was on his way out because I don't think you agree to something like you may make him think it is. But back to something you just said. You said it would leave if it would lead to a lot of negative speculation. Well, wasn't the result a negative? Malcolm Butler never played in the game.
Right, and they lost.
The whole team is trying to figure out, okay, we don't even know what's going on. So that tells you that it isn't a football matter. It's a personal matter. And all I'm saying is, I'm not even going to say what I believe it is, but just ask yourself, what could someone personally do to you that would make you respond by taking away a person's job in the most important day of their job?
The other piece of this that I found really stunning, and I think this is an indictment of the bad decision by Belichick, he didn't tell Butler or anyone that he wasn't playing until the game was about to start. So, like, that hurts the entire team. You're going to sit down a guy that started for you, played 98% of the snaps, all that stuff, and you're not going to tell the other guys until right before him. Like, if he knew a few days before or a week before, hey, Malcolm's not going to play, they could have practiced around that. They could have game planned around that. And they would have been better on, I'm not guaranteeing they would have won, but they would have been better defensively on that day if he had done that.
It could have happened the night before. I don't think Belichick would say
that is possible. But even then, you could, if it happened the night before, you could tell them the morning of, like, hey, tonight Malcolm's not going to play. Like, to tell them right before kickoff, I think that was a big time mistake.
What if it wasn't solved by the morning of? What if you can't really get to addressing it until you get to the building that day?
And then it comes down to then in that case, do you just play him? Because the thing about something like that is like when you sit a guy like that down, it doesn't just hurt that guy. Especially in the way he was sat down. It hurts everyone on the roster. Like, we're talking about a team. Brady throws for 505 yards in that Super Bowl. Hogan and Amendola both have over 120 yards receiving, I think it was. And they lose, right? We're talking about other guys on defense playing their butts off, but they're just not good enough. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're going to make a decision of that seismic equality, you got to do it earlier than the national anthem. Like, that's to me.
So you, like, so and I'm just asking you from, if someone personally affronts you in some way, we don't know what way, but somehow there is a personal affront that caused him to say Malcolm's not in the game at all? Do you know specifically that you will be able to separate or compartmentalize that quickly? We don't know that. That's
right.
Why I appreciate Kraft saying that it was something personal, and that while it was something personal, it shouldn't have bled into the professional. Those mistakes do happen, but you don't know how you're going to respond when they happen.
Yeah, and I think it's something too, like another piece of this, by the way, this is a little off topic, but I think Josh McDaniels has actually been really, or was really good in this series and gave some good insight. He made a comment that game he felt was out of control. And I think part of that's connected to the Butler benching and no defense could stop anyone. But I found it interesting that if you go back and watch Man in the Arena, Brady's own documentary, he said almost the exact same thing verbatim about that game. Like, it starts with Butler being benched, and then just the way the game unfolded, it was totally out of control. Whereas the next year's Super Bowl, even though it was a 3-3 game most of the time, they felt like it was much more under control.
So what you got was the prequel, right? Man in the Arena felt like it was out of control. Josh McDaniel felt it was out of control. Yeah. Robert Kraft, something personal went down with the two of them. We never knew that, right? Everything has been hyperbole about something with coaching or bucking back with staff and all these different things late.
But here's one other point that I find odd. If what was went down personal was so bad that Bill didn't play him in the Super Bowl, why bring him back in training camp a few years later?
Forgiveness?
So it could be forgiveness. It could be Bill found out whatever he thought it was wasn't true. You know,
or
like,
things have changed, the dynamic of all the things that happened.
That's
changed.
Something I found bizarre. Like, if you're going to go to that length of you're going to sit a guy in the Super Bowl and lose a Super Bowl.
You're getting closer to the reason, aren't you?
And then you bring him back a few years later. I just find it, like, that to me, I find
what changed
odd.
In between that time? Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I find that, I do find that odd, for sure.
We wrap up KJ and Lyons next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. KJ and Lyons, WEEI. A Saturday / Sunday weekend show that feels like it's the middle of the week. We thank you so much for being here. Missed any of the show? The Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. And 93.7 Boston, it'll bring you right here. John, can I reveal the good news to the listeners?
Go on.
Just the same way that the Red Sox played a bottom of the seventh leading, we're going for another quarter hour ourselves. So we're here till about 6:15. So we thank you so much for being here. Let's go to Mike in Hamden. Mike, thanks for calling WEEI. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mike.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to jump in on the discussion regarding Belichick and Butler. There's something that's bothering me about the new coverage of it here, and that is that I distinctly remember at the time that Belichick insisted, when he was asked about it, when he did respond, he said distinctly that it was a football decision made on the decision that he felt would give the team the best chance to win. Clearly, he didn't evade, say, I'm not going to discuss that. He said it was a football decision. So the question in my mind is now, as I'm hearing these accounts, that it was personal. Was he lying, or is it something in between? In my mind, the only thing that I could think that could thread the needle here is that we know what a control freak Belichick is, and that anything that undermined his authority, he took as something that was threatening the football team. So So I'm wondering, did Butler do something that in some way disrespected Bill and that he felt undermined his authority? So in his mind, it was a football decision for the good of the team, but that everybody else could look at as though this was a personal thing between Bill and Butler. That's the only thing that's coming to mind that makes any sense to me.
Mike, thanks for the great call. John.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a little bit in the middle there, because I think, like, Bob Kraft says it's something personal. Okay, some personal on. But again, there were reports that week. Butler was sick. He didn't come down on the team plane because of that. He didn't practice that well. Him and Patricia got into it in the and even if not all four of those things are true, like if a couple of those things are true, like those are football reasons. So it wouldn't shock me if the real truth was it's a combination of both things. And at the time, like if I'm Bill and it's part personal, part football, I'm not going to tell you it's part personal. I'm just going to tell you it's football, because I think that makes it, at least in the moment, maybe he takes a little less heat. Like, think about it. If he had stood up there after the game and said, oh, I didn't play Malcolm because, you know, he got on my nerves or something personal, he would have got he could have lost his job. Instead, he says, no, it was football reasons. That's why I did it. As mad as people were, then maybe they could at least say, okay, well, he made a football mistake. And it just has a little bit of a different vibe than him saying, well, it was football and personal, than if he just says football.
So if you lie to your boss, what probably happens?
You probably get in trouble.
Right.
Not that I would ever lie to Ken Laird, if you're listening. I would never tell him a lie.
I have plenty of times.
I never will.
Okay.
But I feel like Ken Laird secretly knows like karate or something, and if I lied to him, he just
I've never gotten that
me.
Close to Ken. Yeah. I just remember the first time I met Ken, we were on 20 Guest Street, and I was doing mornings at an R&B station. I said, you know, Ken means handsome one. And it was like an awkward pause, and we were both the only ones that were in the production room at the same time. So I immediately stepped out. I was like, I don't want to seem weird.
Yeah.
But look, Kraft is going to know what's the truth, because if you cut my check and sign it at the bottom, I have to know why you're making a personal decision that's affecting my business. So Kraft would know the truth. Bill Belichick knows the truth. Now, how much money would Belichick lose if he lied to the media?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. So there's no skin off of your back from withholding the truth, leading you down a different path, telling you that it's one thing, and what are you going to do? So, because if it's a court of law, he's got to tell you the truth. His freedom's at stake. So when he tells us in the media his freedom isn't at stake, his money isn't at stake. So personal, I think it's more on the personal side.
Yeah, right? And KJ, as great as you and I are, Bill doesn't feel any obligation to tell us the whole story.
He ain't got to tell us a thing.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is, at some point, deduce for yourself that if it's a personal matter to the point where it usurped his business duties and responsibilities to his owner, it ain't a football thing.
And you know what I found interesting about this? Because Kraft made the comment about, like, this was the first instance or one, you know, an instance where Bill didn't do what was best for the team. And they made a big deal out of that. There was a comment earlier in the episode by Kraft about Brady, when he said, you know, Tommy wasn't team first, team first. And to me, that is just as much of an indictment. But they should have spent more time on that.
Like, well, you remember the Tom suddenly not coming to the OTAs,
right?
All of a sudden?
And they mentioned it. In fairness, they did mention it. But I would have liked to have seen maybe some of a little bit more of his teammates' perspectives, or Josh McDaniels' perspective on that. Like, because Brady was the ultimate team guy, Bill was the ultimate team guy, and here was two instances of them not putting the team first. And in Brady's case, they kind of framed it as, well, he needed a break, he went on vacation to Doha, great. And in Bill's case, it was like, he was the big bad guy that cost a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that's not true, but I would have liked to have heard a little bit more from his teammates, from assistant coaches, about Brady after that Kraft comment about Brady.
Yeah, and one of them might need a $200,000 loan to save a house down the road.
Speaking of teammates, how much does Danny Amendola hate Bill Belichick?
Yeah,
I don't think I hate anyone as he hates Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but Danny Amendola needs to look in the mirror and remind himself, I was a kick returner in St. Louis. I was a kick returner in St. Louis. I was a kick returner in St. Louis. That's all I need to say about Danny Amendola. Phil in New Hampshire, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on WEEI.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm going to hit my point, but before I even hit that point, imagine if Bill did just say it was personal and get fired. At that time, do you realize the extravaganza
hiring Bill Belichick, that would have been.
I think if that had happened,
the world.
It would have been Parcells not being on the plane coming back from the Super Bowl times 10.
I think our studio mate Adam Jones might have physically ascended into heaven if that happened at that point. So that would have been quite something.
But the questions I have, because I really do believe everything over the last 7 months has been a lot of moving the goalposts, a lot of revisionist history, history being told by the victors. Everything seems to be, the Bob Kraft side of the story, the Jonathan Kraft side of things, and things are being moved in that direction no matter what situation arises or has been spoken of. But the reality, the questions I have is, if Bill did Malcolm Butler dirty, why would Malcolm Butler, the other side of the coin, the air question, why would Malcolm Butler come back and speak nicely of Bill? And then aside from that, nobody, not anybody, seems to ever question the integrity of anything Bob Kraft says at all. It's like, he said it must be true no matter what. And I'm watching a guy bend himself into pretzels to make sure that, accountability for anything falls on everybody but himself. I'm watching him really secure that legacy that he seems to talk so much about, and how much he really cares about his legacy. I don't see anyone ever questioning the integrity of his words, his spins, or anything. And I think that he says personal, but I think that there might be another side of that coin too. I think everything he's doing right now is kind of very Henry-esque.
Phil, Phil, thanks for the call. Yeah, it was Kraft that said it was personal. Belichick didn't answer it at all.
I would suggest to Phil, if you want to hear people question Robert Kraft and some of his statements, listen to WEEI tomorrow from 4 to 6, and listen to it from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Monday, and you will hear plenty of people question some of those statements.
So, about the egregious, if it was so egregious, why would he return? Let me give you a professional perspective and why these things turn around. Football, small. This industry, small. Television, small. Film industry, small. So at one of the stations I worked for, I get pulled into a meeting, and I was doing some work on the station that was very good at the time. And they pulled me in. They said, hey, we're going to go with someone who's more of the lifestyle. Now, I'd been with the station for like 18 months, but it was code. It was straight up code. I was at a top 40 station. I would end up working with that same person like 10 years later.
Yeah, and the other piece, like, for Butler, there
might
have
been... This person literally said something that is indirectly personal. You're not of the lifestyle. He's pretty much saying you're big dude with some Hugh Carpentation. And yet 10 years later, we're working together. Some things you cannot hold inside of you because it will eat you alive and get you sick. That possibly is the situation that you have. Belichick is a 70-year-old man. You think he has that room and capacity to not forgive and to hold?
Oh, I think he does. Ask him how he feels about Wes Welker. I think he might have that. But I think Butler's perspective.
If that's from a professional perspective, that's easy to dismiss. But when it becomes the personal, that's a little harder. So to be able to do it, somebody that you feel like has affronted you personally, and to go back and work with them, you are kind of in this... You kind of really rewarding yourself in forgiveness. Like, if you're seeing a professional about it, they would say, that's very, very good, because that's going to help you with your insides.
And if I'm Butler, though, like, the reason he may have come back is he might have not had another opportunity to play anywhere else, too.
Even better.
Because didn't he, if I remember right, he came back for training camp.
Give a sinking man a job?
He came back for training camp and then, like, kind of retired, then unretired. Like, there was like a weird thing where he, like, it didn't seem like he was, like, something else was going on, and this was his last chance. So if I'm Butler and there's 31 teams saying no and one team saying come on down, if I want to play in the NFL, I have no other choice.
Or I can hire you and watch you just kind of bloop, 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 bloop. So it looks like I'm doing you a favor, but I know you're bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, he was playing chess, not checkers.
There you go. So look, we'll do the bonus segment of KJ and Lions next here on WEEI, getting you ready for the Big East tournament. Thank you so much for hanging out, WEEI.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
You get bonus KJ and Lions here on WEEI. We're taking you up to UConn Marquette Big East final. John, I'm going to tell you right now, if Marquette loses to UConn the way they did that last game, Marquette should give up any type of idea of a number two seed.
Yeah, I would think so. How about the SEC, by the way? The 1, 2, and 3 seeds all lose, and it's not that close?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be absolutely nuts. It's going to be bad for some of these. I think like someone like St. John's is in trouble now because of what's happening in the SEC tournament. So, Big East final. UConn, Marquette. Hopefully it's not a lit match, but better than the rematch. Let's go to the text line, 37937. Zach, what you got?
All righty, going all the way back to the beginning of the show. When we were talking about MLB The Show,
yeah.
Joe Mauer was on the cover of MLB The Show 2010. Wow. 06 was David Ortiz, so John was right on that one, and yeah. David Wright was in 07.
Oh, wow. David Wright, 07. So, John, at that time, were you playing it on? Because there was a time where I wasn't playing a lot of gaming. Like, I think it was around the time I was getting married. So, like, 09, 06 would be the time. Yeah, okay, I didn't have my PlayStation 2 was busted in 06. So that's why I wouldn't know that Ortiz was on there, and that's why I was guessing Mauer. So spot on you, John Lyons.
Yes, because I played, so there was MVP baseball, I played right. 04, and then the best baseball game ever, and arguably the best sports game ever, MVP baseball 05 with Manny Ramirez on the cover. I played that, and then I think they stopped making MVP after that, and that's when right. MLB The Show 06 came out. So I played that, and then I kind of cut down after that. Like, I still played other games, but I didn't play as much. I think
started
I might have
dating
got,
and stuff like that.
I yeah. might have got 07, but then after that, I didn't play. And then, of course, they took it away from Xbox for
right.
years and years. And then I was ecstatic when they brought it back in the spring of 2021, and I got that as soon as it came out.
Yeah, do you, on the show, do you have to adjust back to, like, my batting view is, like, MLB 16?
No, I don't. So I don't have, but one thing, and I don't know if you've had this. When I first got MLB The Show 21, I didn't realize mm-hmm. that the hitting difficulty was dynamic. So, yeah. like, my first couple times up to bat, I got hits, and I felt good. And yeah. then it automatically adjusted. It made it, like, Hall of Fame difficulty. And I think I struck out my next – like, I wanted to throw my controller across the room. I think I struck out.
Anger issues.
Like, my – only with that stuff, though. It's weird.
See, that's the great thing about video. I see that. I know that in you.
But with some, like, if I'm playing Madden and I'm getting smoked, I get angry. Like, it's funny. I'm very calm. Like, I coached college football, and I could be calm in a game in a two-minute drill on the sidelines. But if I'm in Madden and I'm getting smoked, I get angry. It's just weird.
AI will kill us all.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Two more texts you got, Zach.
Alrighty, what's your take on Adam Duvall signing with the Braves for $3 million? First Turner, now Duvall. That's from Sal from Newton.
I like it for Adam Duvall because he's got so much protection in the lineup that you're not like, hey, if we can get the fill-in-the-blank year, Adam Duvall, the team will be great. Nah, he can get in there and sneakily get you 10, 15 home runs, and they be at key times, or maybe 30 or maybe 45 RBIs, in a situation where people have the day off, and that might keep, you know, like Albies and, I mean, I'm sorry.
Anybody in that lineup.
Anybody
in
fresh,
Acuna,
right? Yeah,
all those guys.
Acuna,
Murphy,
right.
Yeah. And I think this is the Red Sox telling us they believe in Tyler O'Neill because it's a guy they traded for. They keep him in, like, that outfield, Duran, O'Neill, and then probably a young guy in the third spot. But that's what I think this is a message that they think Tyler O'Neill is going to have a bounce back year.
Yeah, I think it's also the disappointment of Yoshida already a DH, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's
okay,
fair.
Like, dude, you should be at least give us a couple of years out there in the field before you get to the DH situation, and at least give the team a chance to put a big bopper bat out there to replace. All right, one more.
Just to chime in real quick on that. Yeah. To be fair, the Red Sox have been begging Sadon Rafaela to earn a spot in this lineup pretty much the entirety of spring training, and adding Duvall another outfield bat would pretty much eliminate that possibility. So I don't think that was ever really an option to bring him back.
Maybe it's a price, right? And I think it was probably a look-see for Duvall anyway. And I think it's same thing with Justin Turner. I think Justin Turner just really ingratiated himself to the market and to the region. That's why it felt much more painful to see him go. But you're thinking, like, this dude could still rake, and he's this age, and he's friendly. You got to go somewhere where there's going to be other people that can, you know, support his bat.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if I'm Duvall, I'd rather be in Atlanta anyway, because, like you guys mentioned, they feels like they didn't quite have it. Like, at $3 million, that's even for how cheap the Red Sox are. Like, if you don't want to keep him at $3 million, then you really just don't want the guy.
Yeah. Him and Chris Sale are probably, you think they're rooming, they're the lockers right next to each other telling stories.
Yeah. Like, hey, aren't you glad we're here now? Yeah, yeah, the weather's way better and the team's good.
The tea is better too, that's for sure. You get a nice Arnold Palmer mix of, you ever have an Arnold Palmer?
Food
mix
is
of tea and lemonade
too. The aquarium's better. No offense to the Boston Aquarium up here.
But.
The Atlanta Aquarium's awesome.
I go with the aquarium here because it's closer to like the real animal. Like there's no imported animals. Okay. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You ride out from Gloucester for about 3 days and bring back a nice whale to go.
Yeah, they caught this one in the perfect storm.
There you go. You know what I mean? Even Alan Payne walked it up himself. Look, the story this week, and I'm following this closely as we get along, is Jake Paul is going to be facing Mike Tyson. When is this? In November?
It's this year, right? It's like not that far away. Yeah, it is this year.
Dumbass Jake Paul, why do you not have that scheduled for a month and a half from now? Then to give Mike Tyson how many months to train?
I know. Listen, I would not want to fight like 80-year-old Mike Tyson. Forget about like what's Mike Tyson? Is he like 60?
57,
so
somewhere near like
57, and you give him like 6 months to train. Like you just plan your own funeral. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
I think we're in this spot in society where you just believe everything that people will tell you online, and then you go and do it. Like there was like Will Smith, who's not necessarily known as the greatest rapper, but he just needs to be. Well, he made a song. I might fight Mike Tyson. He made a song. There were songs made about, would you be willing to step in the ring with Mike Tyson for 3 minutes? $10 million, people would say no. I mean, Michael Spinks at the time, this is when I was like a kid, was probably one of the best boxers of the day, didn't last 120 seconds in there with Mike Tyson, and made more money than Tyson did in that fight. Jake Paul is giving this guy, what, 4 or 5 months to train?
I'll tell you, KJ, I'm mostly a rap music fan, but there is a line from a Metallica song that I think applies to Jake Paul here.
For whom the bell tolls?
No, it's so the song's No Leaf Clover, and there's a freight train coming your way.
I'm sorry, that's Megadeth.
There is a freight train coming his way.
Like, I don't know what he's thinking.
Freight. Like, honestly, I would be shocked if Mike Tyson doesn't win this fight by knockout.
Tyson. I know you can't put money on these type of things, but I'm sure on the off market, does Jake Paul have to go to the hospital that night?
Yeah, like it's Mike. it's like, hey, do you want to play one-on-one basketball against Michael Jordan or LeBron? Like that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. Yeah. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking about the payout.
And he will get a big payout.
Right.
He will. But
he may have to have ribs removed. You know, like you're literally a born female kind of because you have ribs taken from you. But look, if you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. I mean, the thing, John, we're back here tomorrow. Like we ended up doing like a 4-hour show almost.
And we'll probably, if the Red Sox end early, we'll be on a little extra time tomorrow.
I would want them to play it out. I do enjoy when they play it out.
Yeah,
I do want 9 tomorrow.
Yes, 9 would be fine.
A big thank you to Bob Kendrick of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. He's the president. I mean, this is one of the great storytellers in American. I mean, like, he's Ken Burns level when he starts to talk about the Negro Leagues, especially as you see the connective tissue. Like, to be able to walk into a room and see Lou Brock standing over there and Lou Brock sharing his story about Buck O'Neill being the first black coach in Major League Baseball with the Cubs and recruiting Lou Brock. You're like, you recruit, like, I mean, this just absolute wealth of gold. Major League Baseball, MLB The Show 24, that's why you've been hearing us talk about it. Not because any of us have been given copies of the game. But it does release Tuesday, and Bob was able to take some of his free time. He's not even at the museum, and he called in the show. Now, that is the humble brag. I got him to call when he's not even at home.
Is that better than knowing Steph Curry as a kid?
See, but okay, so here's the backstory to that. And now you're going to make me share this story. This is what you smoked me into. I've explained that the whole thing about Steph and Seth Curry is that their father, Dell, I know better because Dell was an adult and I was in my adult years too. And I happen to know and run with a lot of those Charlotte personalities, sports personalities. That's where the story's going to stop because you want me to tell that story.
No, I'm just saying you knew Steph as a kid. I heard a rumor that you taught Steph how to shoot. I don't know if that's true.
I just told you that this isn't the humble brag of, like, I've known Steph as a kid. It's just that I know his dad.
Yeah.
And his kids listen to my show, you know. So for them, it was like, oh, that's cool. He's on the air. I mean, Seth was a little younger.
I bet you there was a time where they thought you were cooler than their dad, though. That's pretty cool.
My kids used to think I was cool. So it doesn't change anything. My adult daughter, like, I mean, God bless you. I know she still loves me, but she doesn't laugh at my jokes anymore. That's why you have kids like 10 years apart. because as the older kids are no longer laughing at your jokes, here comes the younger kid ready to laugh. And like my youngest daughter thinks I am the funniest man in the world. And for me, that's the greatest feeling. That's the greatest feeling.
Where's the older daughter? She's heard the material before.
Well, she's almost kind of like, well, true story. Like at the station I used to work at here in the market, I can tell the story now. My co-host decided not to show up, even though there was like a company mandate that like all the morning talent show up. So I rushed my daughter into service that morning. So I had her on the air, and that's where it was revealed to me, like, you know, my daughter might drink a little more than I thought she did. You know, like,
ooh, stuff. Okay.
She has a filthy mouth around some of her friends. But then I'm thinking like, damn, Kay, you're the same way, you know? So I did have that come out one day where my daughter and I actually did a morning show together one day here in Boston. What was that, 2017? She'd come to visit, taking her to a couple of Celtics, took her to Celtics game, took her out to eat. Just a chance for her and I to hang out without the younger sister running around and getting in the middle of everything. So, what are you, Dr. Melfi now? I'm Tony Soprano.
I just let you go, man. I'm happy to hear it.
Well, look, I can't wait. We're back here again 2 days in a row. Mark this on your calendar. This is almost like Christmas Eve into Christmas.
And you know what I'm excited about, KJ? We did a lot of Dynasty talk today. We didn't even get into episode 10.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's stuff we didn't even discuss. We didn't even discuss the whole thing about Brady still wanting to be here. I think that's not true. I got evidence to show that Kraft might not have been telling you the truth. 4 o'clock tomorrow. 4 o'clock tomorrow. KJ and Lions back to back. It feels like it's like Tuesday going into Wednesday, doesn't it?
It really does.
Zach Coe, thank you so much for being here today. At The Real John Lions on Twitter, at KJ Carson. And Zach, what is yours?
At Coe underscore Zach.
At Coe underscore Zach.
Yep, COE.
Guys, have a great day. Have a great Saturday. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.